One of the dimensions of this feast, again, we're just, you know, we're entering into an aspect of the mystery. The mystery is God's plan revealed. And part of that plan is the heart of it, actually, is the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ and the co-suffering of Mary. Along with that, the co-suffering of the whole body of Christ. Now, the suffering comes basically because of sorrow for sin. Sorrow that God is so offended. God, who out of love created everything, who has never offended anybody, who holds us all in existence in a pure act of generosity and love, and who has been disobeyed colossally by us. And through that, we have brought incredible suffering on ourselves and on others. And the vision of that, you see, fills the saints with this co-suffering with Jesus. They get it. And by instinct of the Holy Spirit, they give themselves to God as a part of the sufferings of the Christ. And that's what we celebrate today. Huh? The first reading, in the days when Christ was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. Just before this, we hear, if you read the letter to the Hebrews at this point, that the duty of the high priest is to offer gifts and sacrifices, you see. Jesus offered prayers and supplications. And he did this with loud cries and tears, which is the prayer of the suffering just man. The words here are from probably Psalm 42. In other words, this is the letter to the Hebrews inviting us in to the interior of our Lord's heart at the moment of the garden when he decided, I am going through with this for the love of my Father and the love of all my brethren. That was an incredible moment of decision, you know. As one of the great fathers of the church says, we are saved by the human decision of a divine person. It was Maximus who said that. So he offers loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, his Father. And he was heard because of his reverence. What do you mean he died? Death here is separation from God. God, the Father, saved him from death. Where is he now? Glorious, radiant, fills the universe with his divinized body. That's where he is. He was heard. We think if at all he died, well, everybody dies. It was this entering into the depth of what death is. And Jesus was saved from that because he's not there anymore. But also, he never prays for himself. The him from death is us. So joined to us at this moment that he prayed that we, who are part of him, would be saved from death. And for us, that means eternal separation from God. And so he prayed that we would not be eternally separated from God, we who are part of himself. And he was heard. Because of his suffering? No. Yes, of course. But because of his reverence, because of his obedience, because he confided him, his whole self to God the Father, knowing, as he said to somebody once in a conversation, at that moment in the garden, I was filled with revulsion at what I saw coming. But I must, and the rest I'm making up, and that is not what this person said, reported, but for the love of all those with whom I am now objectively, ineradicably joined, I take this to save me, us, from death. In this act, this is some of the most daring material in the whole New Testament. Son though he was, he learned obedience. Can you imagine? He experienced what obedience really is. And this is a famous, the Greeks, who are very smart people, distinguishes between mathein and pathein. To learn and to endure, to experience, to suffer. It means all that. So, people can learn and know nothing. They have to pathein. They have to suffer it. They have to experience it. They have to take it on. So that's what Jesus did. In his humanity, God learned something. He learned obedience because he experienced it in his suffering. We touch here on the depth of the whole mystery of our redemption. And when he was made perfect, which we can't go into now, but I mean, one of the things it means is that he was ordained. When he was made perfect in obedience, perfect in moral excellence, perfect and perfect, he was ordained. He became the source of eternal salvation. The source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And so when we go to Jesus and say, this is very hard, he says, I know. But we have to go through this. We have to do this. As Paul already instructed you, you have to make up in your flesh what is wanting to the tribulations of the Christ, the whole body. And the one who did that in the most life-giving, universal way was Mary. You know, it would be impossible to gauge the suffering. It would crush us. We're not strong enough. We're not pure enough. We don't love enough to suffer like that. But we can do our little bit. And it starts by obedience. The Lord wants things of us. And do we trust him enough to just do it, even if it fills us with revulsion, as it did him in the garden? There will be a heaven, my friends. It will be forever. And we won't have to bother with any of this anymore. But here, this is the law of life.